Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back, hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa and the world headquarters here. Let's Talk Hookup. We're watching the American Angler unload right next door here at Point Loma Sport Fishing. And we have a couple of great guests here, Bodan Betis and Captain Matt Brawler from Two Fish Jigs. Of course, Matt also runs a San Diego, a Captain of San Diego, and he also, we haven't talked about it, Captain's Concepts, too. He's got a lot, the guy's got a lot going on.
Off-season is, like, my favorite time for Captain's Concepts, too, because, like, that's when you get, like, the juiciest of them. Like, Captain's Concepts is so killer in the summertime for, I'm going fishing next week, and I get to watch a video of exactly what Gavin did on the Queen that week, and exactly what the guys that caught fish on the San Diego yesterday, there's a video that comes out of them talking about it. Wintertime is more my favorite because the videos are stuff like this. And whether it be an in-depth surface iron, you know, tackle, info, that kind of thing. Like, there's so much more, like, juicy nuggets that happen in the wintertime than in the summertime with the reports.
Yeah.
But you said it best, man. We're pumped to have these guys in here today, both Captain Matt and Bodan. And if you want to join us, it's been a very, very busy morning of Let's Talk Hookup. And the second hour is all about your text. If you want to join us, the only way to do it is via the text, which is only available through that Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download if you don't have it already. You can catch all the archive shows, all the great information. And when you send in your text question today, make sure you include your name and your contact info. Man, Pete, you talked about at the beginning of the show, these guys were so generous. We have a bag full of Two Fish jigs. I see minis in there. I see CNC JJ jigs. I see the brand new B3. You'll be one of the only guys on the block to have that brand new lure.
Already available.
The Giga.
I mean, even Matt. Look at Matt. He's been.
Yeah, I only have a couple of them.
My favorite color that Brawla hates is in there, the Wounded Soldier. It's just going to be a really cool prize pack for one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show.
All right. Hey, I don't know. I like this color right here.
Oh, we love you. That's a new one.
That's a new one,
yep.
Huh?
Yep.
That one looks like it's fishy.
The first cast I made with that one, I caught one.
Yeah. That's a 240.
Yep.
It's 240.
Yeah. 240.
Yeah. My biggest problem is the first Two Fish jig I ever owned.
Also,
I was,
this one.
I was given from Brandon, and it's a Wounded Soldier 270. And I had one of the best days of surface iron yellowtail fishing, and I'm not willing to take it off. I since have a box half full of them, and the same way that you said your 240 never comes off your rod, that Wounded Soldier 270 will not come off of my surface iron rod until a sea lion or the bottom takes it away from me. But
so
there's zero reason to change, and I won't.
Yeah, what's the difference between the 240 and the 270?
Just the whole position on the front there.
So
yeah.
They look like identical. Yeah.
The profile is exactly the same.
Exactly.
Sorry.
The same.
Yeah. They're identical.
Yeah, so everything about them, the nose, the hips, the thickness, everything is all the same. It's just a little difference in the front hole where you tie your line to.
Yes.
So the 240 is a little further back, the 300 is even further. The 240 is the most forward.
But the bodies are identical.
Exactly.
On the 240 to 270. And the, so
when it gets spit out of the machine, it's the same lure.
It's the same lure.
And then the hole placement is what designates 240, 270, 300.
It is. And you would think that's such a minor difference. It can't affect it at
right.
all. And it does. You know, and like we said, it's got the same basic pattern, the same basic kick. But the 300 is a little more accentuated, a little harder break. And I really think, when we first started making them, we put them in the water, and everybody said, oh, the 300, that's the thing. It looks the best to people's eyes. But that reality of what looks good to us versus what looks good to the fish. And for me, it was really interesting to see that. Everybody said the 300 is the one to do. And now everybody says it's the 240. Not everybody. There are guys who only fish the 300. There are guys who only fish a 270. And for me, I like having that variation. And since I get to be the guy who makes it, and Matt, you know, said, this is what we should do. We really like that idea of having a little variation.
So which hole is different? The one that you tie to, or the one that
the nose hole, the one you tie
to? This one next to the hook is
identical.
They're all the same. It's this one on the top that you tie to is either forward or back.
Yep, and that's where the lure pivots. So that just a little further back, it definitely changes how they perform.
Okay, so what is the different situations you're going to fish, the 240, the 270, and the 300? Since they're identical jigs other than the hole placements.
So it's definitely current. For me, like I said, 240, especially when we're drifting, a lot of times on the San Diego, we're in the last 10 years or so, we do more drift fishing for yellowtail than we do anchor fishing. When we're drifting, I like the 240 because I can kind of pick up the pace a little bit. Once we put that anchor down, you kind of have to let the current do a lot of the work for you. So that 300, I can cast it out and slowly crank it in, and the current's pulling on it, and I'm letting the lure swim with the current. It's like a river, so you're kind of letting it do its thing in that current there.
So the higher the number, the slower you want to fish it? Is that something you can relate to?
It changes day to day. It changes day to day.
Depends on the current.
Depends on the current. Conditions are everything. And it's also what you like or what the fish like. There's a lot of these lures we make are not – it might not be what – Bodan likes or Brandon likes or what I like, it might be for someone else. Because I know a lot of guys who are good jig fishermen, and they tie on a lure, and it's like, man, I don't like that thing at all, but that's their favorite lure. So it's all what you like, but it's also what the fish like. So it could be day to day.
I do like that, though, Pete. I know you're looking for a rule of thumb. And, right. I like that you're looking for a – where's a starting place? So I think as a starting place, you're saying the right thing. But as Matt said – you can't always stick with that. That's not a universal statement. So it's not always
the
slow
conditions
down.
Every day
conditions
every
make
day.
A
yeah.
difference.
Yeah, it's Mother Nature. There's nothing set in stone. So
Matt said something earlier that I really think is worth repeating for people on the radio that I really think is important. And the more I learn about jig fishing, the more I believe in it is, you know, like you said, if the fish are really fired up, if they're on the chum and they are just chasing everything, you can fish a little faster. There are days out there where you're fishing too fast. There are days where part of the reason why you're not getting a bite is because people are winding their jigs way too fast. And if you notice the fish are out there slack tied, there's not a lot of current, things are a little bit slower. That's when I put a 300 on. I put a 300 on when, you know, there's not a lot of water movement. There's not a lot of flow. That's the word I'm learning everybody uses these days. Current, other things, flow. If the water isn't moving fast or moving at all, put a 300 on.
Okay. The one thing I want to add to this, too, is these guys make really, really good jigs. And I would bet that the difference between a 240 and a 300, regardless of condition, is oftentimes going to be a better swimming lure than a lot of what else is out there. Like, so don't be so worried that, you know, because you have a 240 versus a 300, the baseline of what all of these lures do is they swim really good, and they have good hardware.
Them.
They do. they really, really do. Like, so yeah, don't, you know, that they're good. And it's good. It's good to have different lures for different conditions, but man, one of those things that if Brawla thought that the perfect condition today was for a 240, but you had a 300 on there, I would bet that 300 is going to perform a whole lot better than a lot of what else.
You're
in your
still going to catch a fish. Yeah, you're still going to catch a fish, but there is those niche times where you need to dial it in. And you might get one bite or you might get a couple more bites. That might be the difference. But all these lures, if you present them in front of a yellowtail that's boiling, you have a shot of getting a bite.
Yeah. Well, let's jump in and find out what's biting out there.
Got it, man. It's time for our catch report with a private boater buddy. Captain Mark Wish has got our FishDope.com report this morning. Today, that's sponsored by Gamakatsu. They've got an amazing lineup of fishing accessories that are now available that includes fillet knives, everyday carry knives, those killer G-boxes, bags to store your tackle, ceramic braid scissors, and a whole lot more, along with the best in freshwater and saltwater hooks. You can see your local dealer or check gamakatsu.com. We got him. Captain Mark Wish is standing by. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Ricky, Pete, Matt, Bodan. Man, you guys are just, this is so much fun. I love listening to all that jig jive you just were talking about.
Jig jive. I like that one.
Okay, but I got to take issue a little bit with what you were saying. because I didn't hear one single mention of your jigs being fished for sea bass, you know, and I kind of like fishing those things.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about there by dropping that hole back a little bit probably gives it, probably works a little better at slower speed and probably has a little more kick. And that's the surface irons that I would always look for in the old tatties and mostly tatties, for fishing sea bass on surface iron, of which I've caught more than a few. So that's a whole new dimension you guys can talk about.
You caught more than a few sea bass on a surface iron, Mark.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like that.
We've had some. In fact, one classic day, we'll take a little sidebar here, but John Anders and I were sitting inside the West End on a little strip of kelp with perfect conditions, watching all the boats that were running around the West End and going to the so-called big bite down the back. And we had the most incredible surface iron bite on big ones, 30 to 40 pounders, watching all these guys going around and the whole fleet mounted up back there where the fish had been for 3 days and caught nothing. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it
was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff. But, no, sea bass, they, you know, when they're on the bait schools and, you know, obviously it's not a squid grounds thing most of the time, although there are some techniques. But when they're on the edge of kelp chasing the bait around and stuff like that, yeah, we've had some good sea bass surface iron fishing. But we digress.
Cool. So what's been going on out there?
Well, not a hell of a lot. But this is... Because it's the last report of the fall season. Tomorrow is the first day of winter, winter solstice.
Whoa.
Shortest day of the year. I think it's 9 hours and 54 minutes of daylight. But what's cool about that is that in a couple more days, we start tilting back toward the sun. We start gaining a minute and later on, even 2 minutes a day. And that means summer is right around the corner, boys.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, but, you know, for the time being, we got to make the best of what we got. So along the coast here, no shortage of squid around. You guys want to stock up right now. There's a big area bait that moved in right out in front of San Pedro, so it's really easy to load up right now. And, again, as I mentioned before, when a squid gets in that zone right there, you guys want to try and catch a wintertime sea bass. You want to set up on Furman Reef, which is just inside of that, and just up current from the boiler. You got to watch out for that boiler that's in there because it's definitely a bumper. You don't want to be poking around inside that kelp bed without knowing where you're going. And 7 to 8 fathoms, and that spot loves the uphill current. You need a good uphill to get it going, and then once you get set up, be chopping and chumming that squid. Keep a steady trickle of squid rings going over. Get the smell in the water and be patient. Those sea bass are around, and it's a good way to catch one, good place to catch one right there. Also along the coast, totally different fishery, is that offshore bonita that's around. I mean, what a showing those things are making. It's just awesome. Yeah, all the way pretty much from Dana down to where you guys are in San Diego, mostly off the beach a little bit, 1 to 3 or maybe 4 or 5 off the beach. And you're going to find them by trolling feathers or little plugs. You know, watch for the bird schools. The birds get on the bait that the bonita are pushing up and throw through there, get a jig strike, and then fish them on live bait or crocodiles or colt snipers or something along them lines. And, man, it's just game on. Those guys are just so much fun and tasty if you take good care of them. Man, those things are delicious. And at the islands, you know, not much of consequence, to be honest. There's other than cod fishing, you know, in terms of surface fishing, virtually nothing that I've heard of anyway. Fortunately, there's pretty good rock fishing at multiple islands, but that's going to end pretty soon here. It ends at the end of the year. It's all over for a while, so if you guys want to go catch a few cods, get out in the next few days before our weather changes. And then, like you guys were talking ahead of this segment here, you mentioned that Captain's Concepts thing, you know. Matt, Gavin, you guys have done an amazing job with that in
Thank
terms
you.
Of helping out fishermen. You know, obviously you guys are, you know, slanted toward the sport boat stuff, which is fantastic. But I listen to those reports and I take lots of notes on a yellow legal pad. I've got 2 pads almost filled with notes listening to you guys. And all that applies to what we do on private boats tremendously. And, God, we just use that info and dial in our customers, and hopefully they're paying attention and catch a few more fish. But congratulations to you guys. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And that's this week's report.
Wow. And, of course, fishdope.com, $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And how do we find you, Mark?
Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And for you guys thinking bait tanks for next year, now's the time to get an order. We're a little slower than normal, so we'll get you in and out a little quicker. So check in with us, and we'll get you going on your new tanks there.
Good info, Mark. Great job. Appreciate the report very much. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Appreciate that. You know, as a private boater, we just had the private boater buddy there. One essential piece of equipment, and I know Matt will agree with this, is a good pair of gyro binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
It's a must-have.
Yep.
It's an absolute must. Baker Marine, the best place in the world for your gyros, has right now a great deal on the Fujinon TSX 1440s. They have an instant rebate. It's like $170, $180 on it. Brings the price down to close to $1,000 on those.
That's the new ones, yeah. The TSS.
That's
awesome.
It's not the true gyro, the true $5,000 gyro, but it's pretty darn close.
But for your skiff, it's a world of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to look through regular 7x50s in a skiff is
It's a game changer.
Yeah, you might as well just go home.
Yeah.
In terms of finding fish, that is the best spending of your money that there is. I mean, it's
no question.
On a private boat, you will find such a higher percentage of fish with your eyeballs than you will with anything else. Better than your electronics and all those kinds of things. Like that is a must have. And that's bringing the price down to, I'm not trying to pretend like $1,000 isn't a lot of money. It is, but that is a have to have.
Worth every penny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Baker Marine is the place because they also service them too.
Totally.
Oh,
you buy it from
Baker.
Hearts
go there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, your gyros are going to need service.
Yes.
And Baker are the people. And you buy it from them, you're not going to pay any more than anywhere else. And now with the instant rebate deal, you're going to pay even less than normal. They're the best. So, you're looking for that last minute Christmas gift for somebody special like Bodan on your list or something like that? Go to Baker Marine. Get a TSX 1440 by Fujinon. You won't be sorry.
Find your own fish.
Yeah. Find your own fish. Yeah, find your own fish. Don't just follow Matt around, right?
Please don't.
Yeah, please don't. I love it. All right. Hey, you have a great text, huh, Rick?
I definitely do. And this one was an interesting take. It says, hey, guys, I got myself a JJ240. It's the only jig in my arsenal that swims without having to put any type of hitch in my retrieval speed. The jig is absolutely awesome and quickly became my favorite. My question is, for the other jigs in my box, if I were to change the hooks on my newer Taddy 45 to a 2.0 size hook like I believe is on my JJ240, would that improve the swimming action? Is there anything I can do to my old jigs that aren't as good as my JJ240?
Definitely. Hook size is huge. There's a reason we have those hooks on our lure. I would sure love to have a giant ST66 on the back just because it's never going to bend. It's never going to break. But your lure is not going to swim good with that giant heavy hook on the back end there. There's a fine line on balance. Surface irons are like surfboards where balance is kind of everything. The way it's shaped, the ring size, the hook size can affect everything. And I mess around with my rings and hooks all the time. Even how you configure the hook, whether we call it backwards or forwards, how you put the hook on can make a difference too.
So, because a treble hook hanging from a vertical jig like that, there's a difference in position.
Yes.
A rudder down or rudder up is what we always say. Like.
So the way I tell people to do it is you want the flat side to have the one hook and the two barbs on the belly side, the round side.
I'll show that.
That's important. Every one of these jigs and every one is like that.
Yeah. For me, that's the proper way. Although candy bars and a couple older jigs used to be reverse. But I've noticed me messing with jigs, because I'm always putting new rings or hooks on different lures, is that can make or break your jig too. You could have a jig that looks really good. Everything about it looks good. Your hook could be backwards. Or you have the wrong hook on there, and it's popping out of the water. If you have too heavy a hook, it's going to pull your tail down, and your nose is going to come up. So if you have too heavy a hook, it can make your jig pop out of the water. You have too heavy of a ring, it can affect how your lure swims as well. So
on the smaller jigs, smaller hook.
Exactly.
On the larger jig,
bigger
hook. Larger hook.
Yeah, but not too big. Not too big to where it's going to create drag and weight.
Yep. The old days. So the caller did ask, and we'll give him the straight information. It's a 3-0 hook we use on the 240, and then it's a 4-0 on the Giga.
And then what about the
A 2-0 and a 1-0. So it goes down in size as the jig gets smaller. So LJ has a 2-0, and it depends if you're a VMC or a Mustad guy. So some guys love the old Mustad hooks. They're a little bit bigger.
These
so just
what?
Like... These are VMC hooks.
VMC hooks.
Those are the hooks.
That's the one.
That's the jig hook.
That is the best hook around.
Some of the old timers swear by Mustads, and when we began, it was all we could source, and so we put Mustads on there. And a 3-0 Mustad is bigger than a 3-0 VMC. So just like every other hook, the manufacturers don't have it, you know, the same across the board. They have their own sizing, and they use the same numbers. So, you know, if you're putting a different kind of hook on there, we also think the 3X or, you know, the 2X and the 4X and the 6X size hooks makes a difference, too. So the thicker
the
hook.
The wire.
Yeah, the gauge of the wire. And so we don't think you need a 6X, you know, hook on there. We don't want that.
Well, it's going to drag the jib.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. And then what about the rings? Is there a particular size?
There are. Yeah. And so we believe we've got the ring size for each one. And, you know, as Matt said, there are some guys who think a little thinner wire. Matt likes a little thinner. And so, you know, for us.
If you really want to be a tweaker, I put thinner rings on my jigs.
Yeah. These are thinner, right?
Mine are thinner. mine are thinner.
So who does the brazing?
I do.
They're welded.
It's welded. It's a TIG weld.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's really good. You see some of the jigs and they have little bumps on them.
It's fused together. So that's stainless steel. There's no filler material. It's not bronze brazing. It's a TIG weld. So it's all stainless steel.
Which is stronger than a braze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason that these jigs carry a little heftier price tag, and it's everything you just heard right there. It's everything that goes into. They're not putting the cheapest hook that they could find on and the cheapest ring that they could find because that would drive their cost way down. It's 100% built on the performance of the lure. The rings match the lure that matches the hook that matches it. Like, there are a lot of surface irons out there. You could like look at them on the rack because I know that we have it in our store, and you know, brand to be named to not be named. But there might be four different hooks on the same jig, and it's because that's what they had or that's what was cheaper. It's not that way with these particular ones. Like the hook is critical in their opinion to how that lure performs, and it's 100% built for the performance. If it costs an extra dollar, well, that's just what it is because that's what it takes to make the best lure.
So one other thing I just noticed, a little slow sometimes. The B3 and the Giga are the same size jig.
It's the same length.
Same length. It's just a different hole placement.
No, the shape of the jig
is different.
Oh, okay.
The length is the same.
So and the B3 weighs a little bit more. So when you say same size, are we talking length or are we talking weight?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the – is it different materials in them?
It's the same material, but they're different shapes.
Thickness. Yep. Okay. All right. I see now. You turn it on the side, and then you can see the difference in the thickness.
In the profiles,
Yeah, amazing. How do you figure all this stuff out?
Well, a lot of failure. Well, you know what's really going to work? That didn't work at all. You know, even when you're machining – you know, when I sandcast them at first and we play with shapes, and then you come up with, you know, is it going to hold up when the machine makes it?
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes, you know, you have limitations based on the bits, based on the kind of machine. And so, you know, as you go down in sizes of bits and end mills is what they call them, you can get finer detail. But it takes more time on the machine. So it's production. It's things where the machine is ripping super fast and pulling material off there because every moment on the CNC machine costs money. And so how do you get that price point and how do you do it? So you can get finer detail. You can do things. How are you getting a fine finish on there? Are you bead blasting it before you do it? All these things that take time, like Rick said, you know, time is money. We want to produce the right jig. And so we're trying to hold tolerances. We're trying to hold, you know, things are right for what we believe. Other companies can do what they do. Totally. We're trying to keep quality up there as best we can. And that is, you know, important to us. You know, Matt told me one time, if our name is on it, we want it to be right. And
you do your own CNC work or you sub it out?
I used to do it all myself, and now I have a partner that we use, and I'm really grateful for the work they do, you know, to produce the thousands and thousands of jigs we do. Sure. One guy can't do it, and so I have a partnership with a CNC shop here in town, and I'm very grateful for them. They are fantastic, and I'm really, you know, impressed. They've taught me a lot, too. You know, manufacturing is one of those things you think you know something about, and then you talk with guys who do it, and they say, well, what about this? Okay. You know, what about this? And sometimes they're coming up with the what about this because they want to save a nickel. And then you have to have the conversation about, I understand why you want to do that, and we would prefer to do it this way. It's why everybody sends it to China, if you don't know, because the Chinese make it cheaper. But you can't keep quality control as much as
these
you can.
These are all made in the U.S.
All American made, even made right here in San Diego.
Wow. So. Yeah, all these are painted and ringed in La Mesa. In a garage.
They are. That's cool.
Hey, Harry in Chula Vista has a question here. He says, good morning, great show. You mentioned the pink jig. How is the performance compared to other colors? Also, what is your favorite knot to tie on a jig?
Ooh, good questions.
So, for me, yellowtail fishing color does not matter to me. I just want to be able to see it at the extension of my cast. With that being said, you need to be confident in what you're fishing. If mint seems to be the hottest color around, I very rarely fish an all mint jig, but that's just because I don't think it really matters. But pink's going to get bit just fine. You put it in front of a yellowtail, it's more about how it's swimming and these lures swim. So they will get a bite. As far as knot, I tie a San Diego knot. San Diego knot direct to the jig, just a single San Diego. It's the quickest, easiest, and it works just fine.
Right. San Diego jam is the thing. Here's what I would say. This is what I heard from a tackle guy, a seller of tackles. Hot pink and chartreuse are the two most popular colors across all fish species.
Really?
Now, is that saltwater? But, you know, if you look at freshwater, where I grew up in Minnesota, hot pink and chartreuse are a dominant color.
Yeah. Chartreuse especially, right?
Yeah.
Chartreuse is across the board.
It is.
Fly fishing and everything. Yeah. I mean, look at Clouser minnows. All chartreuse and white, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's what we like.
I thought this was a fun one. It says, good morning, gentlemen. I completely understand your special connection that you have with your products being available at the San Diego Landings, but we're dying up here for two fish jigs. Is there any chance of seeing them farther north, like Channel Islands? Also, Matt, is there any opportunity of having a sponsored workshop-style trip through Captain's Concepts or Two Fish Jigs? That's from Aaron calling us from up in Santa Barbara.
Great questions. They are up at Savon Tackle up in Rancho Santa Fe Springs, Santa Fe Springs. So they are up at Savon. We'd also have them up at Hogan's Tackle in Dana Landing.
Dana Point, man, I'm really
failing here. We also have them in all the landings here in San Diego, Dana Landing, Seaforth Landing, and they will ship them. Our problem is how do we get them up there as far north? And I wish those guys fished the surface iron more up there in the Channel Islands, but they don't.
And you only sell through the dealers, so you'd have to call Fisherman's Landing, Dana Landing, C4 Sport Fishing, and then they ship them.
They will, and that's the beauty of a CNC jig, because a CNC jig is not you're picking one off the rack. I want this color and this, and it's going to be the same thing. Now, I do like to touch them with my own hands and look at them, but for a sandcast jig, that makes a big difference. For a CNC jig, it doesn't make that big of a difference. Yeah, there is no variation is what we promise.
Yeah. Rudy in Carlsbad has a great one, a little lengthy, but bear with me because it's a good one. He says, good morning, gentlemen. I have jumped on late this morning, but I'm stoked to hear that Bodan and Matt are here. Two Fish has officially ruined me on irons, and now it takes up most of my slots on my iron bag. I already covered, I apologize, but do you guys know color and size that would work well in La Jolla. As well, a brass monkey color and retrieval. It seems I have more 240s than the rest, but man, I think every two fish iron I have has gotten bit. Thanks for everything. Great show.
Thanks,
love that.
Yeah, you guys got to love to hear that kind of
stuff. For La Jolla, traditionally it's a small jig place, fishing A1s and Tatty C's and stuff like that. So the mini or the LJ are smaller offerings. If you wanted to downsize and if you think that's the name of the game, definitely the mini. The mini's a sleeper. It's tougher to fish because it is smaller, but I've gotten some bites in La Jolla on that jig, as well as the LJ.
That's the mini, right?
That's the mini, yeah. So it's like a A1 size lure.
Uh-huh.
If the fish are boiling around, they're tough to hook. There's something about a small lure.
And how do you fish it? Fast, slow?
Standard medium fast, or medium slow. It depends on conditions. But your standard surface iron retrieve, maybe a little slower just because it is a smaller lure, especially if you're fishing it on like a Trinidad 40 or something. If you're able to cast that lure on a traditional jig stick, you might have to slow it down a little bit just because it is a smaller lure. It doesn't have the same kind of tolerances as a big jig.
That small jig swims and gets bit fantastic. Right. The difficulty is just getting it to them, right?
Yep.
You got to have that one. You need to start to have a little bit of specialized gear to make that happen.
Because it's so light, a lot of guys struggle to cast it on a Trinidad 20. I even have some friends who are fishing it on, you know, the low-profile bass gear and doing really well on it.
I was going to say, like something you'd fish calicos on.
Exactly.
Right?
I had a day on the Twilight boat where I had a 240 on because that's what I fish a lot of the time, and I wasn't getting as many bites as I wanted. And I put on the mini, and there was a window where almost every cast I caught a calico. Now, this is the question, too. Do you want to catch big fish or the most fish? Because this is where I would say, you know, in La Jolla, they do get keyed in on smaller baits. But is it required? I would say no. I think you can fish a 240 or even a giga in La Jolla and still get bites. There are days, though, where it will outperform. And if you're going for numbers, I think the mini in La Jolla is where to go. If you're trying to catch the most fish, now are you going to catch a lot of shorts? I get shocked how many tiny calico I catch on the giga. I mean, I get shocked at what they'll eat and what they'll attack.
Sure.
For me, that is a great question. And he said, colors for a yo-yo? Man, yo-yo, I think, whatever color you want.
I'm thinking Tranks 400 all the way with this.
Yeah,
it works well.
Huh?
Oh yeah, you can cast that good on a Tranks 400.
Yeah.
Our buddy Danny was, when we went bluefin fishing, foamer fishing, was fishing that on like the smaller grade bluefin. It was lights out.
Deadly.
Tranks 400 working really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a yo-yo jig question that I thought was a fun one. Hey, we got more Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
It's sales event time, and it's happening now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. The Ford year-end sales event has limited-time offers featuring Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport with standard 4x4 capability and goat modes. Goes over any type of terrain. I know people that will be taking their own Bronco Sport around to tackle their holiday to-do list. Shopping for the perfect gift? How about the Ford Explorer, the all-time best-selling SUV that can fit the whole family this holiday season. Inventory is arriving daily with great selection to take your test drive. Come see the award-winning lineup yourself before the year end. Hurry into your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check powerpro.com.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, you know, when it comes to throwing surface irons, Shimano owns the market when it comes to the right reels for it.
I mean, you heard it from the man that is the lures, the Trinidad 20. I agree. It is the single best surface iron reel that's ever been made, and I don't know how it could ever be topped.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, Bodan and my favorite, Tranks 500. I mean, you talk about ease of casting and ease of use. You don't have to worry about going back and forth. It levels the line out for you.
It's great.
And then we talked about smaller jigs, the Tranks 400.
Works fantastic.
Yeah.
You can throw it on a Tranks 500, too.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them. So if you want surface iron, Shimano's the only way to go. Tranks 20, Trinidad 20, the Tranks 500, and the Tranks 400 at your local Shimano dealer.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking fishing, having fun with you. Still plenty of time to text in your questions if you want to talk to the boys. That's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, and make sure you include your contact info because there's some really good ones in there.
Yeah, there's some really good ones. Did you have a great text?
I thought so. We talked a little bit about yo-yo jig fishing a minute ago, and this one kind of ran off the desk. Good morning, guys. Hoping you could talk a little bit about yo-yo fishing. Thanks to you guys, I've got my surface iron gear very dialed in, and I really like fishing those setups, fishing yo-yo. Hoping Brawler can talk a little bit about what length and style of rod you use, what style of reel you like to use. My plan for this off season is to build a full yo-yo outfit before the season fires off. Looking forward to going on a few trips on the San Diego this year. That's Rory Lakeside.
All right. So for me, a yo-yo setup, I go heavy because you can get away with it. For me, I fish a Fathom 40 or a Torque 40. You could get away with like a Talica 20. I like the Fathom just because it's a little bit lighter, and I fish an 8-foot rod. I fish a Calstar 800 XH or double XH. I'm either fishing 50 or 60 pound mono, but the key for me is I have my reel almost all the way full with braid. And I'm fishing a mono top shot, a long mono top shot of like 75 to 100 feet. You need that stretch in there just because the treble hooks and the heavy lure, you need some shock absorption, but you want to have your spool full of line when you hit the bottom, just so you can have speed control. If we're fishing really deep, sometimes we fish out in 50 fathoms. And if your jig hits the bottom in 50 fathoms, you have a lot of line off your spool. If you don't have a lot of line on your reel and you have a tall spool or you have a smaller diameter spool, you're not going to be picking up the same kind of line. You might be winding really fast, but your jig isn't going as fast. So if you have that more line on your spool, you have more depth control and speed control at depth. So I have 65 or 80 pound braid almost all the way to the top of the spool with 100 feet of mono. And I do a lot of casting. That's my biggest thing with yo-yo jigs, especially in shallower water. If we're in 20 fathoms or shallower, I'm doing a lot of casting. A lot of times, especially at the islands where there's sea lions, the sea lions are on the boat and the yellowtail don't want to come underneath the boat. Even though I'm setting up with yellowtail underneath the boat when we stop the boat, doesn't mean they're going to stay there. So casting around, casting where the chum is, or watching the birds, casting out and away and fishing at a 45-degree angle is really, really big deal.
My favorite yo-yo jig reel by a ton, and I think it's the greatest thing ever. You have to get a little bit tweaky to make it just right, but it's that Shimano Osea Jigger 4000.
Oh, yeah.
You got to make some modifications to make it the right yo-yo jig reel for fishing at home. It's a great jigging reel out of the box, but it's not meant for winding a zinc donkey up. But if you got to take the handle off of it and put a traditional Trinidad 30 style handle off of it. And from my opinion, you got
to
remove the auto engage
feature.
But if you take that out, which we do at the shop a lot, and you put a traditional handle on there, I don't think you can beat a yo-yo.
No, that's
because you get exactly what Matt's talking about. You get that nice tall spool. You get a real high rate of retrieve. But there's something about the power of that reel is just
incredible power.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy.
So what handle do you put on it?
A Trinidad, like the same handle that would come on a Trinidad 30. Okay. But the problem is that's not a cheap handle. One of the reasons that a Trinidad 20 feels so good in your hands is like that handle is it's nice and it's got bearings. So you need to buy that reel, then get a Trinidad 20 or 30 handle that does fit. You got to do a couple of real minor modifications.
What I did was just shorten up the handle because they have the two handle holes.
Mm-hmm.
I just shorten it up because of the when it's jigging style, it's long and that's going to be tough to yo-yo fish. But if you shorten it up a little bit, if you don't want to buy a new handle.
Yeah.
That works pretty good too. Yeah.
And how do you take out the auto engage?
You take it to Fisherman's Landing.
Yeah. That's something inside the reel.
Yeah. It's internal.
Yeah.
But man, you do those things for a Wahoo Bomb or winding a yo-yo jig reel.
That reel is gnarly.
The Osea Jigger 400.
4000.
Yeah.
That reel is got some.
Yeah. And it's a lever drag reel.
Star drag.
Yeah. Star drag. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 2000 they make in a lever drag or a star drag. But this you want, it's, if you took a Trinidad, made it 40, made it a little skinnier, made it just
That is a very, very good reel. We've caught a lot of cows on mine.
Oh.
Yeah, for jigging.
No kidding.
And you wind them in.
That's a single-speed star drag reel. And I've watched the boys on his boat catch giant ones. Like, it just defies what should be able to be done on a star drag single-speed reel.
Power.
It's got a lot of power.
So Derek in Lake Elsinore wants to stay on the same subject, and that's yo-yo fishing. He says, I know you guys are talking about hook size on surface irons affecting the way it swims, but is it okay to upsize the hooks on a yo-yo jig?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say yes. Yeah. You could go to those owner ST66s or hooks like that and definitely get away with
bigger
it.
Hooks.
Yeah. Yeah, bigger,
heavier
hooks.
Do you recommend that, or what do you put on your yo-yo?
We put them stock, and so we use a 4.0 BMC hook. It's sturdy enough.
So, and these are what size?
So that's a 3.0 right
a
3.0. There. If you
so
pick
the
up 4.0 the giga,
is thicker.
These
pick
are the
up 4.0s. The giga. This is a 4.0.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wire, because it's a bigger size hook, it is a little bit bigger. It is plenty big. Caught a lot of 30-pound fish on it. It mm-hmm. works just fine.
And how big are the brass monkeys? What size are those?
How big are they? The hook is a 4.0.
No, but how big is the jig? Are they come in different sizes? Different
nope.
Ways?
There's only one size brass jig we make, and that's the brass monkey. Whether it's CNC or whether it's hand cast, the reality is that brass is heavy. It gets down. It's dense. And
about the size of a 6X Junior?
Yeah, it's a smaller profile jig, since it's brass, it sinks about as fast as a full size jig.
So that was our idea, something that's heavier, but we don't want a full size jig. So we would say it's a step down from a full size.
You made a very boutique jig at one point that was really expensive, that was really cool, and it was a brass LJ.
Yep.
Is that something that ever is going to be a thing, that a show special thing, or is that just something that was more than it was?
If guys ask for it, we'll make it.
I got you.
You know, if guys ask for it, I think the Brass Monkey is way better than the LJ. But, you know, Matt caught a big one winding it on the surface. So, you know, it does have some motion in there and does really swim, I think, really good. I think the Brass Monkey is superior.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where we did something
mm-hmm.
and guys really fell in love with it.
Sure.
It was one of those things where, you know, we did something to see if we could do it.
Yeah.
You know, brass jigs, were they going to be the thing to do or not? So.
And do you
if fishermen's put in a special order, we would definitely.
Okay. and do you does the Brass Monkey is it still available in two versions?
It is, and at PCS it will be available. We're partnering with Ola Cappy, so Captain Danny is going to be selling some hooded sweatshirts and is going to be selling some CNC lures for us at the show, and we'll
Who
have.
Is that?
Danny Higley, who's out of Oceanside.
Okay.
He used to be one of the deckhands on the San Diego.
Oh,
and
he's
still
got a little four-pack of, I think it's a 36 yellowfin that he runs out of Oceanside.
Out of
if you're looking for a charter fish and bass or San Clemente or tuna.
Oh, really?
He's your guy.
And what's the name of the charter company?
Ola Cappy. Yeah.
Ola Cappy.
Yeah, Ola with an H. Yeah, Ola like the Spanish.
Like Ola.
There we go.
Ola Cappy.
Ola Cappy.
Fishermen's will have at the PCS show, and then Danny will have some things
He's got
the booth, and we're partnering with him.
That's cool. And he'll have some of the things that maybe wouldn't be on the rack.
Exactly. So we're going to have some things that will be show specials.
Yeah,
we'll have the Jumbo J through him. We'll have some sweatshirts and T-shirts through him. And that CNC Brass Monkey. Yeah. The problem with CNC Brass is, you know, the price point. Are guys willing to spend, you know, that kind of dollar on that? And some guys aren't. I fish it because I think it's a fantastic lure.
But what a good thing to get at the show. You said, I'm sure for a company standpoint, it makes a lot more sense to make the everyday really good fishing, really good swimming, but more affordable for everybody thing. That's what you put on the rack at the tackle store every day. But it's always fun to have some specialty stuff.
I will say that Brass Monkey, our last three trips running at the Coronado Islands, was by far the hottest jig.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was guys fishing that, and they definitely caught more than anybody.
And it always has been and always will be a brass jig.
Yep. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Hey, Randy in San Marcos says, great show, guys. Got a question regarding bluefin jig fishing. Does Toothfish Jigs build a tungsten jig for bluefin fishing?
It's a good question. No. We don't. And, you know, we talked about it. Tungsten melts at about 5,000 degrees, so it's not going to be something I'm going to be melting, you know. And
versus like brass melts at?
Brass melts at about 1,800 degrees. Okay. So if we're talking Fahrenheit versus Celsius, but 1,800 versus 5,000, yeah, that's a big difference. And a lot of the tungsten is made through pressure where they press it together, and that creates the heat and pressure. So, you know, tungsten has been the revolution this last couple of years for bluefin, and I think it makes a difference. But I will tell you, I fished fish for fish on Pacific Dawn this year with our nighttime jig, which I think works really well, the Midnight Rider. The Midnight Rider is a lead jig, but it's compact. It's like an eddy bomb, and I think it fishes every bit as good as a tungsten. Matt will disagree with me a little bit because there are times those tungsten jigs are just a game changer.
Well, daytime, right?
At nighttime.
Yeah.
I don't get to fish much at night, but talking to Gavin, it definitely is a game changer in the nighttime. But it was definitely a game changer in the daytime, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's nice about a Midnight Rider is you're out the door for a couple of months. Yeah. You need to submit your W-2s and, you know, your last tax return if you're wanting to buy a couple of tungsten.
Yeah, you got
to
take out a loan for those.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Gavin, your partner in Captain's Concepts, let's talk a little bit about Captain's Concepts. What do you guys do on I got to set a date, got to work with you and Gavin on getting you guys together.
Yeah, we'll come back out.
Yeah, come out here before the season starts. It's always better on Let's Talk Hookup to get these guys when they're off the boats.
It's tough during the summer.
Which is this time of the year. What's going on with Captain's Concepts?
We're still going strong. I would say videos aren't as we're not putting them out as much, but the last few videos I made have been a lot longer. Hour, 45-minute long videos, deep diving in all kinds of stuff. Surface iron fishing. Last year we talked with Danny. I sat down with Danny and I think it was almost 2 hours.
Danny Wade.
Yeah. And we're probably going to do another one of those. I know Danny wants to come back on. It's good talking to someone else. We're trying to incorporate a few more guys just because I'm doing the full-day thing. He's doing the 1 to 3 day thing. We'd like to get some more long-range stuff involved. I just did a Cedros video. So if you have questions, we're always open to questions. A lot of guys hit us up, for trips. They prep their stuff. I have these rods. What do I need to bring? But we also do a lot of videos where guys, I'm struggling with this. Can you go talk about that? And we do a lot of videos like that, too.
I think that's the very best value of Captain's Concepts is more than just the instructional. It's you guys do such a good job of being a direct access. You become a member of that. You get a platform that you get to talk to Captain Matt Brawl and you get to talk to Captain
Gavin. Yeah, you can shoot me a message about really anything fishing and I'll shoot you straight.
Yeah. <laughs> For the most part.
I know those two guys. I caught my first 100-pound tuna with Gavin on the Pacific Queen, and I've had my best yellowtail day fishing with Captain Matt. And so, you know, those two captains have a special place in my heart personally for fishing with them and have grown so much as a fisherman learning from these guys.
Yeah.
They've learned a few things from being on the water. And as teachers, I think that's the thing. Who knew a boat captain could be a teacher like this? Who knew he had a future in education?
Oh, yeah. He's doing great.
He is.
That's what you do.
I just want to catch more fish.
You have a great text, all right?
Yeah, I thought so. It's from Chuck from Long Beach. He said, what changes, if anything, in your presentation fishing surface iron from when you fish yellowtail versus something different like bonita or bass, et cetera?
Absolutely nothing. You know, let the jig work. There's a lot of guys in the old days where people would vary their retrieve. I've heard a lot of guys say that was a Barracuda retrieve, that was a Bonita retrieve. That might have been true at one point in time before jigs were really figured out, you know, if we're talking 60, 70 years ago. But today, you know, I use the same retrieve whether I'm fishing calico bass or yellowtail. I maybe slow it down a tiny bit with calico. But
see, I'm going to disagree.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree. Yep. For bass, I slow down a lot.
Yeah.
I'm slow rolling that jig and keeping it out there, and that's the only time I think color matters. I'm a definite believer that color for bass makes a difference. And whether it's the wounded soldier, I like yellows and oranges for bass, and sometimes white, especially in La Jolla. seen white lures work really good on the bass, more than like the standard like yellow, caterpillar yellow type stuff in La Jolla.
Do you think there's a difference in retrieve, though, other than slowing it down for calico?
I'm a slow guy. I'm like slower than I almost ever wind for yellowtail. But there's times where I wind like that for yellowtail, too. But for the most part, I'm slowing way down for the bass.
But not bonita.
Maybe. If they're missing the jig, try to keep it in their face longer.
Like you said, you just, if it's, you keep, if you're not seeing what you think you should be, like you should be getting a bite in this way, you're willing to speed up, slow down, do this, do that, tie a different lure on until you find what.
But that's a conditions thing, not a fish thing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not for a species of fish that I'd say. But
the bass, I think, definitely like a slower jig. For the most part, there's times where they're juiced. If you're fishing like San Clemente Island, it's a little different than fishing Point Loma or La Jolla. But for the most part, I do slow my jig down and let it do its thing. For yellowtail, they're a little more amped, and they're willing to chase a lure down. A bass will chase a lure down, no doubt. But I like to keep it, especially when we're fishing the kelp, the longer you can keep it near the stringer, the more chance you have of hooking a bass.
And what about barracuda? It's something that we don't have a lot of the last couple of years, but boy, this, you know, fishery is built on catching barracuda.
Oh, man.
Does that change faster, slower?
Day to day. Yeah. Day to day. Once you, and like with barracuda, if you find the right speed or the right, like just the right action, you can just clean their clock. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But sometimes they want it fast, and a lot of times the one thing I will say is when there's yellowtail mixed in with barracuda, finding out the right speed for that. If you can catch the yellowtail when the barracuda are going crazy, you're definitely stepping your game up.
And is that usually faster than the barracuda?
Not always.
Not necessarily.
Not always. No. Most of the time it is faster or going with a bigger jig. That giga was kind of a thing where, like, if we see those barracuda around, I would usually bump up in jig size just to kind of keep them off it. One thing that I learned a lot in La Jolla was, you want the barracuda to be on your jig. You don't want them to, you don't want anything, you don't want your lure just out there in the open. You want the barracuda's attention. You want the barracuda bumping your jig and stuff. You want to get the barracuda to bite it, pull it away from them, and that's when the yellowtail bite it a lot of times. Yeah. You want to create competition.
I like that. One of the things I think, I struggled with barracuda fishing for a long time is sometimes barracuda will hit the front of the jig. You know, and you have to wind it through their mouth to get the hooks in them. And, there have been days where, for whatever reason, you come tight on a barracuda or you think they have it, and you didn't get the hooks in them. They just bit it and are swimming with it, and that's one of the things that I think a lot of guys struggle with.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Sean in Blossom Valley says, good morning, guys. Great show. How long do you like to wait before reeling your surface line? I typically shoot for 10 feet down before reeling, and what do you prefer?
For me, most of the time, I'm winding as soon as it hits the water. I believe that, especially if you're casting towards a fish, like you see visual fish on the surface, that if it hits the water and doesn't immediately start swimming, they're definitely losing their interest. Because it doesn't look
as... A lot of times they see it from the hit on the
water,
sure, right?
I mean, you could watch them a lot of times. They'll see it in the air.
Yeah.
Like if you're chumming for yellowfin tuna and they're biting really good, you'll throw a scoop of sardines out, and you'll see them chase it in the air and wait for it.
Right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm a firm believer if your jig hits the water in front of a fish and doesn't immediately start swimming, their interest is gone.
Interesting. I'll tell you, that's one of the other reasons that you spend the money to buy a two-fish jig. A lesser quality lure needs to sink down so that it doesn't pop out of the water and start spinning on your retrieve, and a good... You go buy your JJ 240 and make a cast with it and hit the water and start turning the handle. It's going to stay in the water the whole time.
There might be times where it's choppy or something, and there's wind chop where you might have to let it sink a little bit. But for the most part, if the weather's decent and there's not white capping and stuff, as soon as that jig hits the water, I'm turning the handle.
It's one of my biggest frustrations in lesser lures is that they don't stay in the water well. And you shouldn't have to be doing... You shouldn't have to wait 10 seconds before you turn the handle on your lure to keep it in the water. Like, that jig's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You have another good one?
I thought so. It says, hey, when you're fishing, Brawler mentioned having 20 jig rods. For an inside advanced course, I have a question. Do you fish specific jig rods for specific lures? I have a 10-foot Alua. I have a CalStar 100 mag. I'd love to know what your recommendations are if you could have a specific rod for a specific lure.
Yeah, I definitely... There's... certain rods perform well with certain weight lures. So like an Alua likes a bigger jig. Like most Aluas like a bigger jig. Once you start, I would say Alua is kind of the top end of like beefiness. And then as you go down, you can go down in jig size. So like the Aluas, I usually fish like a Giga or the B3. If it's a full length Alua, like a 10 footer, you can get away with the standard like JJ size jig. And then once I get into like a, I have too many to name, but like a 100J per se, you could fish a little bit smaller lure like that LJ and stuff like that. And then once I get into like the minis, I have like very specific rods. That Wahoo, the UC Wahoo is a good one. That's a really good rod to fish all kinds of jigs. You could fish the Giga to the mini on that. But then I have rods that they don't make anymore that I fish a lot for those smaller jigs. Some old like Tatty blanks, not the CUIs, the old Tatty like graphite blanks when they made those. I have a couple of those for fishing the mini. There's another one that I like is the UC, UC 85 Phantom was a good one to fish. Was with a Trinidad 16 and 30 pound. Fishing that mini was money.
Cool.
This is why you get Captain's Concepts. This is exactly why you subscribe to Captain's Concepts. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming here, including finding out who's got themselves a whole bunch of brand new lures. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
Hi, this is Captain Ray Lopez, owner-operator of the American Angler. I spent more than half my life aboard the American Angler along with my partners Brian and Lori, developing a team that's as good as it gets. I've been fortunate to spend time on the ocean with so many fine people that I look forward to fishing with. We can't thank you enough for being part of the American Angler family, and if you haven't joined us, we love the opportunity to meet you. Text or call Lori at 619-223-5414 or check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
Power your boat with Norsk Lithium. The ultimate choice for marine adventures. Our batteries deliver unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Packed with cutting-edge technology like Deep Sleep to eliminate phantom draw. Built with rugged BCI-compliant cases, they're designed to handle the toughest conditions on the water. Stay in control with the Norsk Guardian app. Monitor performance, track battery health, and unlock advanced features right from your phone. Charge with confidence using EvoTech onboard and DC-to-DC chargers for fast, efficient, and hassle-free power management. Designed for maximum compatibility, these chargers keep your entire system running at peak performance, so you're always ready for the next trip. With a 10-plus-2-year non-prorated warranty, you can trust your batteries to perform for years to come. Our industry-leading warranty ensures you get the most out of your investment. With dedicated customer support if you ever need it, upgrade your marine power today. Set up your custom system at NorskLithium.com or visit Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood. Norsk Lithium. No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hookup!
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time. Bodan's going to do us the honor. We're going to find out if we have a caller or a texter winning today. We're going to flip in the coin, and we have a caller today. Congratulations, Chuck from, Alex from San Carlos was our caller. My bad, I had him picked up there. Alex, congratulations. You have got yourself a bag full of two fish jigs. Congratulations.
With the new B3.
Yeah, with the new B3, which Matt doesn't even have, right?
I have a couple of them.
You have a couple of them? Okay.
Yeah, we're getting excited about
does
that
Brandon
one.
Does Brandon have one?
Who cares? He doesn't even fish anymore.
He's sleeping through it.
Yeah, pickleball.
Sure. Yeah, he didn't even show up. You know, what are you going to do with him? Anyway, two fish chicks, great job. I want to mention, you guys are not sponsors. I mean, you guys are just fishermen, and you're just doing a great job. And this is purely an exercise in a service to our listeners and a service to you guys because you're friends and such like that.
We're grateful, Pete.
And we're grateful for you and what you guys do and everything like that. You're fantastic. You do a great job. How does one attain a two fish jig?
Well, you can get them at any of the landings, at Fisherman's Landing, Seaforth Landing, Dana Landing, H&M has them, even Point Loma has them. You can get them any of those landings in San Diego, Hogan's Tackle up in Dana, and also Save on Tackle in Santa Fe Springs.
And if you're up in Santa Barbara, like a lot of listeners, or you're somewhere else in New Mexico.
You can call any of the landings here in town, and they'll mail
them. And they'll ship them to you.
Keep making the best surface iron.
You're on it. You're doing that now.
Just keep doing that.
Yeah. And Matt, Captain's Concepts, how do we subscribe to Captain's Concepts?
If you just Google Captain's Concepts, it takes you right to us on Patreon. You can follow us on Instagram as well. Two Fish Jigs has an Instagram. Captain's Concepts has an Instagram. Follow us there. Okay. And there's links to everything you need to see there.
Okay. And when are we going to see you back on San Diego?
Well, the boat's up in San Pedro right now. So as soon as we're done with boat work up there, we'll bring it down here and do some more boat work. And then hopefully February, March or something.
Be back on the water.
I hope so.
All right.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready, for sure. Thank you all. Thank you, guys.
Great job, you guys.
Thank you all, listeners out there and callers and texters. We'll be back tomorrow. It's the big day, the Christmas Spectacular, right here with Corey, Rick, and myself. We have 7 prize packages that are each right around $300 to $500 each to give away tomorrow. It's going to be quite the day. You know the story. Great stories, songs, poems, contributions to the show. That's what we're looking for, 7 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Right back here on Facebook, YouTube Live, 97.3 The Fan, and, of course, that Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you then.